Welcome to the latest episode of the Enterprise Times podcast series. My name is Nick Brooks, and my guest today is Klaus Jepsen, CTO at Unit4. Today, we're going to talk about robotic process automation, or RPA. Gartner defines RPA as follows. RPA tools perform if-then-else statements on structured data, typically using a combination of user interface interactions or by connecting to APIs to drive client-server, mainframes, or HTML code. An RPA tool operates by mapping a process in the RPA tool language for the software robot to follow, with runtime allocated to execute the script by a control dashboard. Our conversation will be around the phrase Klaus used when we spoke earlier, RPA is dead, long live RPA. Or to put it in another way, is there another generation of RPA? Klaus, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Steve. Good to be here and great to be on the show.
Klaus, Unit 4 talks about self-driving ERP. Isn't that just RPA by another name?
If you look at it, like everything, if you abstract it out, everything becomes the same. If you elevate high enough, everything becomes equal. If you look at traditional RPA technologies, then they are centered around external automation of your existing solution. You add them on, and then you can automate some manual steps that would normally be done manually by the end user. And it can be anything. I mean, entering data, it could be moving workflows across, sort of be anything. What self-driving ERP is that rather than having to add these things on top of the application after the fact, it's part of the application internally. So that means that in a self-driving ERP solution, you could say it's slightly broader than the RPA topic itself. It also contains automation. There's also at least two elements to it. On the automation side, it allows you to drive forward business processes that you build using the workflow engine. So when you construct a workflow, inside that workflow, you can decide to ask the user, you can ask our SaaS service, the Smart Automation Service, that can run a machine learning algorithm to determine what is the next action here. That's the intrinsic part of moving a business workflow process forward. On the external side, what we have put a lot of emphasis in with our next generation ERP, ERPX, is that you can then have a tighter integration and easier way to actually get data into the system from external parties, from external sources, through standard mapping, through standard connectivity, through standard tooling from either ourselves or from Microsoft or any low-code, no-code provider, so that instead of having to enter data through Excel spreadsheets or you have to sort of capture information about invoices, you have to do timesheet based on emails, you can simply get the system to do that for you. So that's the input piece of it. If you look at it, strictly speaking, you'd say, well, what's the big difference here? To me, the difference is that when you design a system from the bottom that needs to be more automated, you can also provide a better experience to the end users because you can remove screens, you can remove elements that traditionally we need to deal with, where RPA, you still have to go in and teach the system because it's an external system, what it's supposed to do in these different use cases, like moving the workflow or entering data or what else you might want it to do for you.
It sounds like it's not just a self-driving ERP in the sense you've got RPA embedded within the ERP, but it's actually almost an open ERP connecting to other low-code platforms. Is that correct?
One of the things that I think we will see is that RPA is going to be part of the enterprise software going forward. I think we're going to witness that this level of automation is going to find a way into the core application. What RPA as a technology do you add on? It's sort of a stepping stone towards that intrinsic automation you will see in the future of enterprise software. It bridges the gap between what we have today, which is very manual intensive applications, and then the future where there is less interactions with enterprise software because a lot of the transactional data can be handled automatically. You get a lot of it electronically. You can determine what needs to be done next. You can produce smart UIs based on a combination of the metadata, the data of what you need, and you generate this 10 seconds user experience. This whole transition and RPA is part of that, but over time, it's going to disappear and into the bellies of the enterprise software itself.
The 10 second user experience. Could you just explain a bit about what you meant by that?
Oh, so the 10-second user experience is really about capturing elements of data that the system can't find but needs to progress or process the transaction. And the way it works is that if you, for example, have an invoice, you may have an expense report, you have anything like that, and you get that into the system as an automation. For example, you go and read the inbound invoice, the supplier invoice from whatever, it comes in and it says, okay, I can't find the invoice number or something like that, or I can't find the PO. Then it will go into this processing mode where it essentially sends out a message to your user saying, hello, got this invoice. It shows you the original invoice and saying, I can't find this information. And it does that based on document type, for example, invoice, timesheet, whatever, credit note. You then have it, these are the fields I need and this one I couldn't find. You configure that and then it just builds you a quick web page that where it shows you this thing, you enter the information and it's gone. That's what we call the 10 seconds experience.
So the 10 seconds experience is when systems create a web page which interacts with a user to get that specific data, all within 10 seconds then.
Yes, exactly. And it's a unique, it's not a coded, not like a UI that sits, somebody sits and design. It's generated based on the metadata, tells what it needs, what information it needs and where the field is. And then here, I need this and then submit. This is auto-generated using the information about the transaction data required. And it does that. And it can do that for anything. Back to this idea that previously what would happen is that you would get email from the system saying, click this link. And then you go into a task list that's like million of years long. And you click inside that task list and then you go and find this invoice. You have to look at it to find out what's wrong. Oh, this field has an asterisk or it's red or whatever. You enter it and you say submit. Here it just comes as a notification in Wonder, for example, on your whatever assistant you're using. You click on it and you're done. You don't have to deal with the ERP. That's also part of what our RPA, robotic process automation, is leading how this is going to work in the future. Looking at RPA, it's probably robotic process automation has become an acronym for a set of tools. It's probably more a philosophy of how you create enterprise software going forward. Maybe we should try to separate the link between using RPA as an acronym for a tool set to a principle in how we develop user experiences.
Could you give me an updated definition of what you see as RPA is nowadays?
RPA nowadays, for me, when I think about it, is, as the name says, it's about automating manual tasks through a set of technologies that you can go and define what do you want the technology to do for you and then essentially replace your human in front of the screen.
Which comes first, RPA or ERP nowadays? Because it seems like you're saying it's embedded in the core of the ERP and therefore it's not necessarily separate.
Today it is separate. There's a number of vendors that have bought RPA tooling and all for it. But essentially, RPA is a recognition that you can and you need to automate more tasks and you can automate more tasks. And then RPA came around. What a lot of vendors are doing is that they're not adding it into the application. They're still selling it as a technology on top of their application without changing the fundamental properties of the ERP software itself. It goes into a bigger story about the evolution of ERP. And this is one of the key drivers. If you think back, at some point, we got desktops, we got a lot of applications and features and functions became more and more. It became harder and harder to use it and set it up. And then somebody came up with the concept of a wizard. So the wizard guided you through the steps of what you need to do. And I always thought that is really a bad answer to a bad design where you're not really solving the problem. And in reality, a lot of users aren't using a lot of the functionality in the applications. And I think RPA is sort of the same thing because you have all these enterprise software, you have homegrown solutions, and at the end of the day, they're not really been designed for this new world where everything can be automated, where you can use machine learning, you can use other algorithms for that matter of fact. More and more data come in electronically, so you can capture it without entering it. And there's just a ton of software out there that's not capable of handling that. It can be from official ERP vendors as software providers, or it can be homegrown solutions in IT organizations where they simply never got around to doing the APIs or whatever. Everything was UI-based. So rather than going addressing that fundamental problem with this architectural technical debt, they just use RPA as a technology to do the automation. Whereas the next generation, this is in the system. From my ERPX perspective and our platform, we don't really think about this. We more focusing on what can get automated. Where can we remove screens? Where can we avoid even approaching the end user unless it's strictly necessary.
You describe it as self-driving ERP, and that seems almost inward-looking. What about those companies that have legacy applications and looking to add on the modern or replace a legacy ERP with a modern ERP, but still have those legacy applications running? Can the RPA within the ERP integrate into those external legacy applications?
Yes, it can. Then you can argue from a philosophical perspective, well, then it's just another RPA tool. To some extent, you have a point. The way you can do this is that whenever there is any step in a data capture, anything where you need to go and get data, then the ERP system can, just like any system, can reach out and impact other solutions as well. The technological challenge would be if it's about the traditional RPA where you have to enter data. There's nothing in the ERP or in the built-in RPA, unless you provide that functionality. We are not doing that, where you can go and then, okay, let me map this Excel file to these fields on the screen and then hit the submit button. But what you can do is you can, of course, go and link it up with, for an example, Microsoft Power Apps or Power Platform that allows you to do automation using Azure technologies, and then link that with the ERP solution so that when you have a business processes that bridges two subsystems, for example, you need to capture some externalized user information, then you can trigger that from a step inside the ERP that then can reach out through the Azure technology stack into some automation tooling built on the Azure platform that can go retrieve that information from the homegrown solution. You can do it, but it's not going to be the most beautiful thing, but it's doable.
Taking that slightly further, do you see a point where RPA solutions can actually talk to each other? In the sense that I know you've mentioned PowerApps and Microsoft, but what about some of the other RPA vendors that are out there in the market who built huge amount of workflows on really legacy apps? Here in government, you know, public sector, they've got COBOL systems running. They've got workflows written to extract data from that to go into other legacy ERP. Do you see a point where your system can interact with other RPA solutions?
Yeah, definitely. I don't see why not. I think you could take some of these vendors today and you could, because if you look at their offerings, a lot of these have the concept of agents, which is essentially code artifacts that access APIs. If, for example, our ERP is part of the bigger ecosystem with a very large customer, an enterprise customer, and they have these legacy solutions and they prefer using an external RPA tool, then that technology would be able to interact with the ERP technology that we have and orchestrate whatever business processes that runs across the business. That's definitely doable. You can do that today based at least on what I read about the availability of different technologies from the RPA vendors.
You recently wrote a blog entitled Automation's Critical Role in Driving Efficiency. In it, you stated, truth lies in the core, but action happens at the edge. Where and how does RPA fit? Is it at the core? Is it at the edge? Is it both?
Now, that's a good question. The bridges between these edge application and the core, because it depends. For an example, when I wrote that blog, when I rewrite these things, I think a lot about it in the context of what we are doing as a vendor, and we are pushing out this notion of a focused task app, or as they call them, just task apps, and then running them at the edge, which means that you would bring them closer to the end user, either in the form of a plugin into a collaboration platform or a specific web app if it's more functionality. But at the end of the day, if you think about that, then the automation doesn't really care about the underlying architecture. It cares about the business processes, and the business processes, they run across a number of these edge applications. It may orchestrate the actions, the flow, and the requirement for interactions with end user in the core, but the action will then be pushed to the edge. And depending on, you can have some multi-level workflow approvals, or you can have multi-level data capturing, it may be pushed to different edge representations, like a plugin in Teams or a small web app or a mobile experience. But at the core, it would sort of handle the orchestration and then push the task to the edge.
One of the things you put in the blog was around security, and it's an interesting thing from our point of view because we often see it as a main problem, is if you've got someone moving between departments, there is a lot of work that needs to go on behind the scenes to make sure all the permissions are set right across the different directors. Is that an application for RPA at the core, do you think, that some companies could implement it?
The beauty of having these things once at the core is that you typically also have the core data access control system sitting there, like the authorization and authentication capabilities. Of course, they also have the ads. That means that before you start shuffling data around between the ads and the core, the tooling can ensure that the right credential has been used in order to get, and you're actually authorized to get to that data. But of course, you also need at the ads to have a data authentication and so forth, so you ensure you don't violate any rules.
Can you give an example where you've seen RPA in use at a customer that's benefited them?
A typical one is in the HR process, where you have a lot of information coming in forms. That's what we've seen. Unstructured information, spreadsheet filled out, that needs to be fed into the HCM system. That's where you add with SuccessConnect RPA technologies that allows you to map this data into capturing screens inside the HCM solution. That's one place. It's less and less, but it depends on where you are in the world. It's not predominant here in Europe anymore, but there are places in the world where you're still receiving a lot of paper-based invoices that you need to extract the information from. You might scan them into something like an Excel or an XML file. Probably Excel, and then the technologies can take the data elements out and move them into the application itself. So there is a number of these use cases today where you can use this.
By having RPA embedded within the ERP, does that make it more cost-effective than having it as an external system that you have to go and develop onto?
It depends the level of automation, I would say. The more automated the solution is, and the more of these manual tasks that the enterprise software out of the box, the more cost efficient it becomes. Otherwise, you would have to add this as an extra implementation cost to get the RPA working across systems or within your ERP system if you only have one ERP system.
Isn't this just customization in disguise?
No, it's not. You call it elevated configuration. It's nothing to do with customization. But in many cases, if you think about what it is you want to do, you want to have the ability to alter some of the workflows in the solution. And rather than doing this through traditional customization, coded code, you do it through configuring through RPA technologies. So that means that you can actually build these automations. If you update the system, since it's not a coded exercise, it's not part of the system itself, you'll be able, in many cases, keep your RPA workflows running. If you're using the traditional sense of RPAs, whoever built your software or the vendor then changes some of the screens, you might have to do some reconfiguration, but you don't need to go and recode a lot of stuff. Whereas if it's internally, then the vendor becomes responsible for making sure that whatever you have used the automation technologies for, the RPAs that's in the system, that they don't break whatever the customer's created.
And you mentioned low code a couple of times during the conversation. Are we seeing a democratization of RPA? Who creates these automations, or is it still the developer and the IT function?
The discussion and the topic around low code, no code, citizen developers goes beyond the RPA field or a technology because it will allow IT departments to elevate to looking at how do we solve specific business problems rather than dealing with the minutiae of keeping the machine running, because that's all sitting in the cloud. Microsoft and others are pushing towards making their technologies available. So it is a democratization of RPAs through the platforms, the cloud, the hyperscalers will provide this technology, predominantly Microsoft in the enterprise space. Through low-code, no-code, the Microsoft toolset we're using for the Power Platform and other offerings, the business people or the business analysts, the IT people of the company will be capable of doing this without requiring any coding.
What is the future for RPA in terms of this embedded ERP? We've talked about dynamic forms in the past, but what you've just described in the 10-second user experience almost goes beyond that, because it's actually the forms creation, not just the amendment of the forms. What can we expect in the future?
From an automation perspective in general, I think the future will be literally more 10 seconds experiences, less designed UIs, because in general, 90% of the users of ERP maybe uses 10% of the application. it's developing into the same as with word processing, like Microsoft Word and Excel and these applications. These casual users of the system, in the future, they won't really realize that they may be communicating with an enterprise application in the background, because it's just going to prompt you for specific information it cannot go and retrieve. And the rest of the workflows that we're seeing today, the rest of the data capturing, is going to be happening automatically using either robotic process automation or because the enterprise software have it built in. The concept is simply constructed into the solution and not an afterthought. So I strongly believe that technology, and if the RPA technology as an offering moves along, they should start looking at how do they use their technology to create these automated user experience, focusing on finding anomalies and getting the data that's required to process a transaction over just plain automation of existing screens.
Is it right to say that user experience, in the sense that dynamic forms will be surfaced within the user interface of choice, i.e. it's not just the ERP application, it could be Slack, it could be Teams, it could be some other collaboration tool?
Yeah, where I see this is all moving, yeah.
Klaus, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Steve. Thanks for your time.